Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way once again. My voice is making some progress, but not as fast as I want to. But I guess we have to do what we have to do every now and then in our life. I'm glad to be able to share with you this morning. We're going to talk about being a disciple of the Lord Jesus. And so we'll spend some time on that just to encourage us to keep doing for him what he wants us to do for him. And that'll be a good time for us to just take a look at our own life and see how we're doing, okay? Well, as I come to you by the way of WION, I-1430 AM and 92.7 FM. And over in the low area, it's 100.3 FM. And I'm glad to be able to share with each one of you at 8 o'clock in the morning. I come to you also by the way of Greenville, WGRM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Others are tuning me in by the way of internet radio. Some of you tune me in by the way of my website. I welcome each and every one of you and trust that God will bless your time together as well. I need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial broadcast expenses. Our Gloria Spencer, she lives in Orleans. She does it in memory of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname, and she's been a faithful supporter, and I really appreciate her. And Bill and Judy Hammond have been faithful supporters from Beldy, and I appreciate them. And then Shiloh Community Church, that's where I pastored for 50 years. And I'm glad to be able to give an invitation, letting us know that we'll have a new pastor there. We've got one coming, and he's going to be there the second Sunday of July. So that gives you some time to prepare to come and see us. Worship service at Shiloh begins at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning and 10:45, there's a contemporary service. And then if you can't come on Sunday, Saturday night is open, and that's a 6:30 service. And that's always very special as well. And then over in Greenville, we got a Greenville campus. We're going to let them go on their own at the end of the year. But that's at Calvary Baptist Church. That's the corner of Grove and LeRae Street. And that service is at 11 o'clock. Well, I think that takes care of those things. And accepting a big thank you to K.N. Kingsinger. She's got the next 3 weeks because it's going Sunday. They're going away for a week. And so she's got the next 3 weeks done. So we're pretty well set for that period of time. And I'm glad that they're able to get away and spend some time. Her husband's a pastor at the First Christian Church in Ionia, so they need a little break once in a while as well. Well, as I get ready to share with you, got a first song we want us to listen to, and that song is reminding us of God's Word and the preciousness of God's Word, and we'll just listen to that. And then I'll be right back and share the message with you. As soon as I find the numbers, we'll just hit that button. And there we're going to go, I think. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in.
It's easy to walk in the footprints of another who's walked here before. But when those prints disappear and my future seems unclear, my only hope is in a still small voice. Follow me when the footprints you follow are gone. Follow me. when friends leave you standing alone. Don't be afraid, I won't lead you wrong. The Savior has spoken, follow me. Friend, are you troubled with nowhere to turn? Have you lost your way in the night? Well, there is one who is watching. He knows where you are. He wants to lead you in.
I love that. The Savior has spoken. Follow me. Follow the Lord Jesus. And you know what he's promised? He's promised that he will never leave us. He will never abandon us. That we might realize that we can have confidence in him. And that he's going to be a very present trouble in our time of need. Now, dear people, that doesn't mean you're going to have some questions. I have a lot of questions these last 3 months of why this is necessary. One of our pastors had COVID and he was in the hospital, and I'm glad to say that they're all in his home now, and that's good. And we are glad to have him recuperating and get his strength back. But he already knows a lesson that he learned through the hospital experience. And I'm trying to still figure out what is the lesson I'm learning from this period of time. Because since the second week of January, and here we are in the first week of June, that's been a very difficult time for me and for my listening audience and for all the folks that needed me at funerals and I wasn't able to help. That's been very tough to go through. But I'm glad the Lord has led me one day at a time. And they say 90 days I should feel a little better. And I'm approaching that pretty soon in the middle of this month, I think. And so we're looking forward to that. Well, let's just have a word of prayer. Dear Father, we come to you. And once again, I come on behalf of the listening audience. I ask your special blessing to be upon them, everyone that's tuned me in this morning. Would you meet their needs? And would you meet the needs of their family according to your will? Dear Father, we thank you for family. It was so special. We had our family together for Memorial Day, and you know that I have thanked you many times for the time that we was able to have together. And we just don't want to take those times for granted. So, Father, I just pray that if there's somebody in the listening audience that they have an unspoken request this morning, I pray that you would meet that unspoken request according to your will. Just now, as they focus on that unspoken request, I'm praying, dear Jesus, would you do something to give them some sense of direction or whatever else they need. And we'll thank you and praise you for that. Now, Father, come and honor your word, because you've told us your word never goes out but what it accomplishes the purpose that you send it out for. So this morning, dear Father, we're going to talk about discipleship, and I pray that we'd be good disciples for you and with you. And I pray in Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Well, my breath is kind of slow this morning, so you'll just have to bear with me a little bit, and I thank you for doing that. I believe you, as a listening audience, have been very kind to put up with the changes of my voice. The stations have been very kind, and I appreciate that. You know, to be a disciple, you know what it means? It means to be a student of Jesus, one of his disciples. One of his disciples that wants to learn of the Lord Jesus. It simply means one that's going to follow him. A true disciple of Christ will commit himself to learning. And that's what I want us to think about, is the things we need to learn. Because it won't come to us natural like some things do in our growing up period of time, and some things that's in the DNA that we maybe sometimes even have to work with to get rid of, because we're not glad for that to be there, but that's still pretty special. To be a true follower of Christ, there must be a commitment to learning. And you gotta wanna learn. You don't wanna have to be satisfied, and you should never be satisfied with what you've learned up to this point. But you ought to go forward and learn some new things. One day Jesus was going to call 12 disciples. And I love the way Jesus did that. He was going to have 12 men representing the 12 tribes of Israel walk with him. And it's recorded for us in the book of Mark. Let me read it for you. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee and preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. That's Jesus' message right on the heels of John the Baptist, who was the forerunner, and it's sad to say he got put in prison because he's telling somebody that they were doing something that was wrong and he didn't like it. So they put him in prison. And as he walked along the Sea of Galilee, Jesus spent a lot of time along the Sea of Galilee. And then he saw two people, Simon and Andrew, his brother. And they were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. You've been fishing for fish, and you've done a good job at that, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. When gone a little further along the seaside, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. Mending the nets because they had to be fixed every now and then. And immediately he called them, and they left their father, Zebedee, in the boat with the hired servants, and they went after Jesus. Jesus has now 4 disciples, and 4 of them are just the common everyday people. The people that represent you and I. The working people, those that have jobs and were in business and they were busy, and their business was growing good, and they were very active, and Jesus wanted those kind of people to be a part of the kingdom of God, and he wanted them to be his disciples, to do the work that he would want them to do, and that was special. That was pretty special. I love it that Jesus called so many common people to do the work for him. And you know what I've learned in my life and what I've learned? When he calls us, he doesn't leave us where he found us. He's going to make us be a more valuable person, so to speak, to him. Because they're going from fishing for fish to fishing for men. And he wanted them to know that was something that he wanted them to do. You know what I believe all my heart, with all my heart all these years that I've been a pastor for 60 years now? I believe that God equips us. When he calls us, he equips us to do what he wants us to do. He's just not saying you're going to do this in your own strength. It's going to be, as we'll find out this morning, it's going to be through our work that we do with the Lord Jesus. And you know, I love to see him calling those disciples. And then it tells us in the book of Luke, now it came to pass in those days, they went out into a mountain to pray. And the Lord Jesus, when he was thinking about picking these 12 men to be his disciples, it said he was there in the daytime and he spent all night in prayer. And then he called the disciples to him. And out of them, he chose 12. He also named them. Simon, he gave him the name Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James and John. Then he called Philip and Matthew and Thomas. Anyway, he ended up calling 12 men. And the last one that he called was Judas. And we know he ended up being a traitor to the Lord Jesus, and that's sad. And his thing was, follow me, and I'll make you to become. The call is the same to you and I today. God is saying, follow me, and I'll make you to become. And what he makes us to become is something that is very special in each one of our lives. And that's what we should want to do, is whatever the Lord Jesus wants us to do. Well, as we continue on in the message, you know, Jesus in those early years, he started doing miracles. The people would love hearing him speak. And all of a sudden, there was a crowd every time he went anywhere. And because of that crowd, and people continued to believe in him because the message was the same. All of a sudden, now he's got 70 disciples. Besides the 12 that he called to follow him. And I like what it says later on in the book of Matthew chapter 10. After this, the Lord appointed 70 other disciples to go ahead of him in whatever city he was going. And that was to kind of get them ready in that city that Jesus was coming. They were to travel in pairs, two in a pair. And Jesus reminded them, the harvest is large, but the workers are few. That's the same way it is today. The harvest is large, but the workers are few. So he asked the Lord to pray the Lord of harvest that he send forth workers to harvest the crop. I'm sending you, he says, like little lambs among the wolves. Don't even carry a wallet, a travel bag, or sandals, and don't stop to get anything on the way. Whenever you go into a house, greet the people right away with the words, peace be to this home. If a peaceful person lives there at home, they will greet you the same way. But if that's not the case, your greeting will be rejected. Stay with the family that accepts you. And don't be concerned about the ones that reject you. So he said, there is where you're going to eat. There is where you sleep. And then you work out of that home. Whenever you go into a city and the people welcome you, just eat whatever they serve you. Heal the sick that are there and tell the people the kingdom of God is near. Jesus is coming. But whenever you go into a city and the people don't welcome you, just leave the city and shake the dust off your feet. I love Jesus. He said, just leave the city. Don't go trying to argue with them and so on. Just leave the city and move on to those that will welcome you. I love Jesus for sending the disciples ahead of him. Now he's got a group of 35, two in each group, and they go ahead of him and see if the people will be rejecting him or responding. I love when the 70 came back, that God's word tells us this. When the 70 came back, they were very happy. They said, Lord, even the demons obey us, and we use your power and your authority of your name. We mention the name of Jesus, and we have power that we never had before. Jesus said, you know what, folks? I watched Satan fall from heaven like lightning. I have given you authority to trample snakes and scorpions and destroy the enemy's power. Nothing will hurt you. However, don't be happy that the evil spirits obey you. You know what you should be happy about, disciples? You should be happy that your name is written down in heaven. You should be happy that you believe in me. You should be happy in trying to help others to believe in me. God's design is that every Christian is to share their faith with other people so we can reach out and reach them as well. And that was something that Jesus wanted them to know. Don't be happy in the things that Jesus does to you, but realize you've got a lot of happiness because you have believed in Jesus. And I think sometimes we just take a moment and need to look back over our life and think how special that is, that somebody came and told us about the Lord Jesus. And that's why we need to be busy telling others about the Lord Jesus. So be happy about the right things of what Jesus said. Don't be so happy and get all excited because my power working through you is able to accomplish some things that is above and beyond you. Because that's what he called. He called them to become fishers of men. And I think that message was the same message that he gave to all the disciples. Well, one of the things that I think the teacher has invited you to do as a student is to get to know him in a personal way. To be a disciple of Jesus is to learn from Jesus so we can share with others. God's design from the beginning of man was for us to be in the image of God himself. So you know what I want to share from this time on? God's purpose in your life and God's purpose in my life is to make us become a little more like Jesus, whatever that is like in your life and whatever that is like in my life. He wants us to become a little more like Jesus, and that's so important. Way back in the book of Genesis, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. God wanted, when he created Adam and Eve, he wanted to be in their image. He wanted them to be like God. He didn't say they're going to become God, but he wants them to be like God and do the things that God does. And he says, right from the beginning, he said, they let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing. So God created man in his own image of God. He created him and male and female. He created them in his image. And that's what he wants. And God wants us to be in his image today. He wants us to become like the Lord Jesus. And that's one of the reasons the Father sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, down here on planet Earth. He wanted us to become like him. Over in the book of Romans, in the, Romans 28:29, it's kind of the same thing that Jesus was saying to the disciples. Be happy about the right things. A lot of times people share this verse when a person is sick and say, we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And I believe that too. But I don't believe that's a verse to share with somebody when they've been down for such a long period of time. It's more to trust in who Jesus is, and that's what the next verse goes on to say. For whom Jesus foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He said, I want you to be transformed. I want you to become more like Jesus, is what he's saying. And that's pretty special. And that's why Jesus gave an invitation one day. And that invitation is still to you and I. Come to me, all you who are tired from carrying a heavy load, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and put it on you, and learn of me, because I am gentle and humble in spirit. And you shall find rest, even being busy. For my yoke is easy, and my load I put on you is light. God wants us to get to know Jesus. And so he says, you know what you got to do? You got to come to me, Jesus. It's not coming to a religious background. It's coming to the person of Jesus who says, I love you. I love you so much that I'm willing to die for you. And he says, you need to learn some rest for the ministry. You can't do the ministry for Jesus on your own. You have to have power from him. And that's what he's asking us. I love getting to know the teacher. He's very gentle. He's very humble. And he wants to work alongside of us. Now today, the yoke, we don't see that a whole lot. Every now and then I see a team of horses when I'm in the Amish settlement working together. But back in that day, they had a thing called a yoke. And Jesus is saying, I want you to be on one side of that yoke, and I want to be on the other side, and we'll work together. I believe it works this way. We need to connect with Jesus, and then we need to cooperate with Jesus, to work with him. And that's something that is very special for each one of us to do. And that work with him means that he's got things that only you can do. And that'll be special having you do it. So he wants you to do that. Well, right now, I believe I got to take a moment and get us another song so I can catch my breath and maybe get a swallow of something to drink. And I'm just looking forward to coming back and sharing the rest of the message with you. This message is going to tell us of the importance of God's Word. God's word is very important. Here we go.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid, I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a forget.
I love that, a light unto my path. Your word is a light unto my path. And then we have the presence of the Lord Jesus as we yoke up with him. I want us to think of the word of God. And, you know, if you're going to be a student of the Lord Jesus and be a disciple like him, and if you're going to become more like the Lord Jesus, it's not going to come natural to you. It's going to come as you study the Word of God and as you see in the Word of God the people that God wants you to work with and how he wants you to work with them. Today, to be a disciple of Jesus, you must be a student of the Word of God. Because the Word of God is the mind of Jesus, the mind of God, the Father. And that Word is helping us to become more like the Lord Jesus. I love what is said in John chapter 12. For I have not spoken on my own authority, Jesus said, but the Father who sent me gave me the commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. That's what we have to realize. Jesus came down on planet Earth, and he came to bring the message of God the Father. And Jesus said, I'm speaking what he's told me to speak. This is his message because he so loved the world that he sent me his son down here to speak this message. And you know, I think it's so important that we realize that's what God wants us to do now. He's saying to you and I, to God the Father, I want you to speak the message of Jesus. I want you to speak the message and study the message of Jesus so that you can become more like my son, the Lord Jesus. That's the Father's purpose in sending him after we believe in his son, Jesus. He went on to say that people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority. They were used to the scribes and the Pharisees. You see, he taught with authority in the very culture that they were a part of. And, you know, he didn't quote somebody else. He was bringing the message straight from the Father to each one of us. And he said that many times. If you've seen me, Jesus said, you've seen the Father. What he wants now is, when you see us as Christians, you see the Lord Jesus. And we're going to have to grow in that. It's not something that just happens automatically, but we're going to grow in it the best when we study the Word of God. And we look in God's Word, how he behaved himself, Jesus. And then not only how he behaved himself, but how he ministered. what he did when he met with people and what he did when he shared the message that the Father has sent him to do. And for you and I, we can speak with authority on the Word of God, because the Word of God is authority. Now, I realize that in this generation, we don't want any authority. We don't want any truth, so to speak. We each want to think our own thoughts. But God's telling you as a believer and me as a believer, we need to renew our minds that we might have the Word of God in our mind. And the Word of God is so powerful. The Bible tells us that it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And the Word of God is going to be sent out. It's never going to return to the Father empty. It's going to cause to happen what God the Father wants to happen. And one of the reasons why I like sharing the Word of God, because it tells us in 2 Timothy, when a young pastor was listening to an older pastor, this is what he said: "But you must continue the things which you have learned, and be assured of knowing of whom you have learned them, that from a childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." And his teacher was his grandma, and his teacher was his mama. That's Timothy's teaching. And that faith was strong in grandma, and that faith is strong in mama. And then Paul said, "Timothy, you've been taught well, and I believe that faith is strong in you." But it wasn't just because of grandma and mama that it was strong. But listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says that the Word of God, the Bible, he said it's profitable for doctrine. It can give you something that is called doctrine. I always think of doctrine being the bone in an animal. If you take the bone out and we grind it up, we got a hamburger. But the bone gives it structure, and doctrine gives it structure. It's profitable for reproof when we're doing something we shouldn't do. The Word of God says to you and I that that's not the way to do it. There's a better way to do it. It's for correction. And we need to know that in our life, we need some correction, because we'll mostly try to respond by just what is our nature. And as a believer, you still have a sinful nature. And so we realize that that's why we need some correction. So we need some instruction in righteousness. What is the way God thinks? Not instruction of righteousness in our own thinking, but what God thinks. Listen to this next part of that phrase in 2 Timothy. "That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." That Word of God, the thinking the way God thinks, is going to help you to understand what God wants from your life and what he wants to produce in your life, as he's causing you and he's causing me through our lifetime to become more like the Lord Jesus. All of our life is a learning experience. And I got to tell you, from my life, I can share that it was constant learning experience. And that's why I'm trying to figure out from the Lord himself, what is this thing that I've been going through these many days? And it's been very difficult. I haven't been able to sleep in the bed for about 2 months now. Every time I lay down, I lose my breath. So I got one of those electric tilt chairs. And so I've been sleeping in the chair. Well, that's made my neck be stiff, and that's caused me a little more difficulty in a different kind of way. But you know what he tells us? And this is why we need to learn. He's trying to have us become more like Jesus. And I'm trying to see what way all of this that I've went through these months is going to cause me to become more like Jesus. But you know what I know? And I know this is true. Your word, God's word, is a light for my feet, and it's a light on my path. And God's word's going to show me what I was supposed to learn from these things that were happening in my life right now. And I say that with confidence, because I think I'll be more like Jesus when that word gets to me, what he's trying to teach me now through this. But you know, all the years that I was a pastor, it wasn't only just learning God's word in order to become more like the Lord Jesus. It was looking at the life of the Lord Jesus and what he did. There's a portion of scripture in Philippians that said, "Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Even though he was in the form of God in heaven, he did not consider it to be robbery to be equal with God the Father, but he was willing to empty himself, and he wanted to take upon a servant, a bond servant, which is a servant that's been set free, but he wants to continue to work for his master. And he coming in the likeness of men, Jesus came in the likeness of you and I, so that you and I could become in the likeness of him." Isn't that wonderful? God's trying to get us to see, I'm asking you just to do something that's going to add dimension to your life. It's going to add something to your life that is very special. I need to tell you, after being 50 years a pastor at Shiloh, and been 60 years a pastor of the community, I need to tell you, dear people, nothing like it to realize that God wants to use you to bring about some things in other people's life. And the Lord Jesus, he was humbled himself, and he became obedient to even the dying on the cross. And that's a terrible death. And Jesus became obedient to that. So now he's saying to you and I want you to become obedient to what I have taught you and demonstrated it for you. And you know, one of the ways that can happen is when we want to be a student of the Lord Jesus as a disciple of his, we need to learn from the experiences that Jesus went through. It tells us he went through that for you and I so that we can become a part of understanding that Jesus knows what that's all like. And you know, one of the things that I learned from Jesus, and I'm sure glad that I learned it early on in my ministry, and that was, excuse me, the relationship that Jesus had. Every time Jesus saw a large group of people, it said he was moved with compassion. When he seen people, he was moved with compassion. And his saying was, they are like sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus wanted to be their shepherd. They need somebody to guide them. They need somebody who has come a little closer to Jesus, to be a little more like Jesus, to the point that we would care about what they're going through, and we'd want to be a part of helping them. And you know, that's what the Lord Jesus wanted. One of my stories that I like the best, that one day he was with the disciples, and he said to them, "We've been pretty busy. We better go and have some quiet time." And Jesus did that quite often. He'd go spend all night in the mountains and pray, just by himself, and pray with the Lord Jesus. He'd pray with the Father. God the Son speaking to God the Father. Well, then as time went on, the realization that they were pretty tired, they needed some time alone. But the people had noticed that sometimes Jesus went to the mountains to have quiet time. So they went by boat, and the people followed him along the shoreline. And when Jesus got there, there was a big crowd of people already there. Now remember, Jesus had just told the disciples, "We've been pretty busy. We need some quiet time." And now when he gets there, there's all those people. And when Jesus saw that crowd of people, even though he's totally tired, and he was going there for a time of rest, Jesus said, "We need these people are like sheep without a shepherd." So he sat down and he began teaching them. And they were hanging on there. They were there all day. Jesus never got that rest that he needed, but he was still there teaching them. And then when the evening time was coming close, Jesus said to his disciples, "I would like to feed these people." And these disciples said, "It'll take more money than we have. And then besides that, there's no place to buy it. There's no food around here enough to feed this many people." It is believed the crowd maybe was around 10,000. There was 5,000 men besides women and children. Sad to say, in those biblical days, they didn't count women and children. But we kind of put it together and say probably about 10,000 people. And Jesus said, "Well, find out how much food you got." And they came back and said, "We got a little boy's lunch. It's five little biscuits and two little fish." "Well, how much is that amongst so many people?" And Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." And then he blessed the food. And he gave it to the disciples. You know what it says in that story? Everybody had all they wanted to eat. And when they got all done with it, they picked up the leftovers, and there was 12 baskets. Remember how many disciples there is? 12 disciples. There was a basket left over for each disciple to have, and then they would share it with the Lord Jesus. I believe that's so special. God told that story because he wanted to know, and he wanted you to know. See how Jesus worked? Sometimes when you're working for Jesus, you may be very tired. Sometimes you may need to realize that you need to have some time away. But there may be other things that happen that maybe you don't get that time away. I need to take just a little sip of my pop I got here. Thank you so much for letting me do that. My voice was just getting a little bit raspy and making my throat hurt a little bit. But you know what? As we watch Jesus and how he works with people, we can see the mind of Christ, how he was compassionate towards people, how he put them ahead of his own desire to do what he wanted to do when he wanted to rest. And you know, God's trying to teach us that that's something that is important for each and every one of us. And God wants us to know that one of the ways we can become more like Jesus, another way was we watch him. I don't have much time left, so I won't spend a lot of time on this. But one day the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray. Would you teach us how to pray?" And Jesus, he taught what we call the Lord's Prayer, and you know that. I would say sometimes a day say the Lord's Prayer. But anyway, he said, "When you pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." He wants us to learn how to pray in that kind of a way, because that would be something that would be very special. And sometimes what Jesus did as he ministered to people, he just realized that he was light. And he realized that that light that he had, and the light that the Word of God had, remember, it's a light unto our path. It's a light unto our feet. It gives us direction. Well, that same light can give people direction who are walking in darkness. When you're walking without God, you're walking in darkness. So he wanted us to know that that was something that was very special for them. And you're going to become more like Jesus when we realize, as we minister to people, I like some of the things that he used, which was common amongst all people. He talks about the bread of life. He talks about being hungry and being thirsty. And the Word of God can satisfy that hunger and thirst. One of my things that I think I'm trying to get people to do in my years of ministry is just taste and see that the Lord, He is good. And that's what's so important for each one of us. So what we need to do as we go through our life is to become more like Jesus. And to become more like Jesus is just to watch Him and how He ministers. Well, it's time for me to go, and I got a song that KN really likes, and I like it too. It's just saying, ask the people who are around Him. Sometimes you can learn what Jesus was like when you realize that he was able to reach out into other people's lives, and He touched their lives, like the woman at the well, which we'll hear about. God bless you. Thank you for letting me share with you.
Just as